First of all, it's a terrible news for Searcy, obviously, in terms of not only the direct jobs, but the impact and the indirect impact, all the people that live there and the families and what have you. I don't know what was going on specifically on the books, but my understanding is that they were just having difficulty keeping it in the black. I don't know of any. I don't know what government program that they're talking about. Look, the private sector has successes and it has failures, and this is terrible news. But again, I don't know all the specific reasons, but I am hopeful that someone will purchase them. And I read that yesterday, that some folks might be looking at their operations. So I am not one that believes that the government ought to go around saving failing private businesses. I just do not believe that. Why? Because there's got to be an upside and a downside to being in a market, and the risk of the downside and the benefit of the upside are what sort of helps regulate the market. Now, again, I don't know all the specifics here. Now, the broader question is, could the government nationally be adopting policies? Could it adopt policies that help encourage economic growth? Absolutely. I advocate that every day. So if they're talking about, can the government help create an environment where jobs are created or jobs are maintained and businesses can flourish? Absolutely. If they're talking about some kind of specific TARP program for Yarnell's, no, I would not advocate for that, obviously. It's a terrible deal. And again, I don't know all the specifics, but I'm hoping that something good can come out of this. So we'll see.
Okay. This comes from Trevor from Haskell via email. You've stated that you would like to see spending cuts as a way to lower our national debt and balance the budget. Mm-hmm. But with national debt now at $14 trillion and climbing, it's almost impossible to lower it without also finding a way to raise revenue. Would you be willing to raise taxes only on those making over $1 million, although with major spending cuts as a way to begin reducing our national debt in a bipartisan manner?
Well, let me talk from a 30,000 feet level first here. I don't believe that the American people are taxed too little. And I brought some charts with me, which I know are over there, and I won't grab for them. But I have studied this intently and to figure out how we can get out of this mess. And the first thing I have concluded looking at the data is that we've had a pretty steady revenue stream over the decades, meaning we have been at approximately 18% of GDP as revenue. That's about the average, okay? It's gone up a little bit. It's gone down a little bit. And the funny thing is, even when rates have been reduced, we still have stayed at about 18%. So we have spent at an average of around 20 or so percent of GDP, which means we've been financing that gap between 18 and the 20 with debt. That deficit has turned into debt. Now, that's a relatively minor deficit when you look at where we're heading. And if you look at the charts, it is very clear that revenue is relatively steady and that the spending is what has gone off the chart. So when I look at this, the first thing I say to folks is, this is a spending-driven problem. And I think the different way of looking at this problem has to do with whether you consider the spending problem we have one of addiction or not. I view what has happened in Washington not as just an accounting error or we just spent too much and we're going to try to fix it. That's not what has happened. What has happened over time is that politicians of both parties, members of the Senate and the House, presidents, politicians generally over the decades, have believed that it was in their interest to spend more. And that's what they've done. And they have continued to spend more because they thought that's what people wanted. And if you look at the numbers, to me, it's like someone with a gambling addiction. They're sitting at the slot machine, and if they looked up to you and said, "I don't have a gambling problem, I just don't have enough money," you would say to them, "Well, that's silly. You've got to address the problem." And so when I peel back the spending problem, which I think is the core, when I peel that back, what I see it under that is a discipline problem. And I personally do not believe that more money into the federal coffers is going to fix the discipline problem. That's the perspective, that's where I come from. And then I say, Roby, this is not, as lawyers say, a case of first impression. We're not the first country to ever have a debt problem, okay? So then I start saying, well, why don't we look at the other countries and see what they did and see which ones succeeded and see which ones failed? And I think we've talked about this before, but some economists have done this. And if you look at the countries that focused on the revenue side, they have predominantly, if not exclusively, failed. If you look at the countries that address the spending side, where I see the discipline problem, they have succeeded. And so the issue here is, are we going to just act as if there's not an underlying addiction problem, addiction to spending? Is that what we're going to do? Because if we do that, we are, in fact, kicking the can down the road again. And I think if you look at why these countries that had debt failed when they raised taxes, two reasons. Giving the politicians who got you in this mess more money is not going to get you out of the mess. And number two, increasing taxes, particularly on people who create jobs, when only half of the people in the country pay taxes anyway, that's not going to help economic growth.